In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. This last Sunday of the blessed month of Beba, the Church chooses for us the reading of the raising of the widow of Nain's son. And the Lord saw this widow who had just lost her only son. And of course, back then, the society, the women didn't work. So they were completely dependent on their husbands and their sons. So this woman who was already a widow lost the one by which she would be supplied her sustenance and her livelihood. And when the Lord saw this scenario and this procession coming out of the city with this casket or this, you know, this bed that he was laying on, the dead man, and his mother weeping for him and the people behind them weeping. And then you see the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples coming into the city and meeting him. The Lord saw this woman, and the scripture tells us that when he saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Of course, when the Lord says, "Do not weep," this is different than when we say, "We do not weep." When he says, "Do not weep," because he's the one who controls the universe, and when he says, "Do not weep," he can make whatever is the cause of their weeping to be healed, which he does. But sometimes when we say this, and I'll mention this a little bit later, it's maybe harder. So our Lord had compassion on her, and his compassion was demonstrated, like he didn't begin and tell her the reason why her son was sick, or the reason why he died. Or he didn't begin to speak to her about theological terms, and about principles regarding the faith, to acquire whether she has the faith that her son be healed. He didn't do any of this. But he began by showing compassion. And I believe, my beloved, this is what the work of every Christian should be, is showing first compassion. Unfortunately, now we live in a society where any disagreement is intolerable. We don't find a lot, in a lot of places we look, this element of compassion. What's going around now is social justice, 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 right? But what about the element of compassion, right? We'll speak about, again, the both of those in a minute. So I'll speak a little bit this morning about the idea of compassion. What does it mean to be compassionate from the biblical perspective? And what are some challenges that we face when we want to be compassionate? And lastly, what are some examples of compassion? What is being compassionate? What is compassion? The English word is derived from the Latin of two words, com, which is like to be with or together, and then path is to suffer, in which we get the word passion, which suffer. So actually, if you do compassion, it's together, suffering together. It means, this is the word of compassion, to suffer with. And actually, in the Greek, it's even a little bit more powerful than that. The Greek word is splachnismai, which again it means not just suffering with, but there's a physical element. You know, splachni is like the in the viscera or the organ, and that's where we get the word spleen from, like a deep part of the body, the abdomen. So it's not only a feeling a compassion with somebody or feeling like you're sharing in their suffering, but there's also like a physical element that you're experiencing as well. So when the Lord is saying that he had compassion on her, there was something that he felt with her, which led him to raise him from the dead. So compassion isn't just feeling sorry for someone, or feeling bad for them, or wishing them better. You know, these are good, but this isn't compassion. Compassion is the suffering with, and having this deep feeling that can even be have a physical aspect. We have like words similar, Yanni, to it in English. Like sometimes we'll say that I have butterflies, right? When we're nervous. You're nervous about something, but there's a physical element involved, right? You really feel something in your stomach, right? Also, when something's very painful, or when you see somebody going through something very painful, we say this is gut-wrenching, right? So we actually feel something in the gut, this splachismai. Our Lord had compassion on us in this same manner. He saw humanity suffering because of sin and with no way out. So what does he do? In showing us compassion, he takes humanity He humbles himself and takes the form of humanity and shares in our pain and suffering and all the things that we go through in life. You know, most of us, we live better than the life that the Lord Jesus lived. He lived as a wanderer. He said, I had nowhere to place my head, right? He shared in our suffering and in our hardship. And my beloved, when we see true compassion, it's difficult to ignore. It's really difficult to ignore. One is filled with a sense of gratitude, filled with a sense of indebtedness, and filled in the sense of love. When you have somebody who showed you compassion, you automatically feel closer to that person as if they were a best friend. Because you felt that they really felt your pain and their suffering with you. What are some of the challenges that we face when we want to show compassion, or maybe things that keep us from showing compassion to others? Number one is judging or weighing people. My beloved, we're not called to weigh people. Weigh people means what? To determine whether people are worthy or not. So are we called to, you know, first see if a person is worthy of my compassion before we show them any compassion? Again, sometimes this is our weakness. We first see if somebody is worthy of being showed compassion, and then if they're not, then we don't show them any compassion or any mercy. On the contrary, we might be even harsh with them as they go through their difficulty. In the Roman custom of the time, they were very big on justice, right? Have you guys heard of Lady Justice, the statue of Lady Justice? She's characterized by two primary characteristics. She's carrying in one hand a balance, which is the symbol of justice, where things are weighed, and based on, you know, the evidence, it goes one way or the other, which is fine. The other characteristic is that she's blindfolded, right? She's blindfolded. And this blindfolding, of course, they'll explain it, and it says that there's no partiality. They're blindfolded, so they don't show any partiality. But yes, this is good, but this is not it. Because in the Roman custom, actually, it wasn't about showing partiality, but they said that if you saw somebody, you might have compassion on them, and that can alter your judgment. Right? So there was a bit of harshness. So they looked at compassion as being a vice rather than a virtue, because it might alter one's judgment. And we see something very similar happening now in our some parts of our country, right? Where the focus so much is on justice, but not on mercy and compassion, which is what we need, Who of us is perfect, you know, in our life, that if it's not, you know, scrutinized, we won't find a blemish? All of us will have a blemish in our life if people dig hard enough. Maybe one of the ways that we judge and we weigh people that sometimes we don't recognize, and it kind of sometimes is sublime, is labeling. Labeling is a form of judgment where we see somebody and we just stick a tag on them. This person is mean. This person is rude. This person is inconsiderate. So we just stick labels on everybody we meet from the very first time. We start sticking labels of them. And they really, other people have to work hard to have these labels removed and new labels to be placed. This labeling is a type of judgment, and it puts a barrier between us showing them compassion and love. When we label someone, it's very difficult to love them. If I label somebody as a thief, can I really love them? No. If I label somebody as who's harsh and difficult, then I just stay away from them. I can't get close to them, right? So these labels make it very difficult for us to show compassion and love. Also, another challenge is when we say your suffering isn't serious. So we belittle the person's suffering or the hardship that they're going through. As if hardship or suffering is some kind of competition. And sometimes we'll do that. When somebody comes and complains, well, we complain of our situation more. So I'm suffering more than you are. As if it's a competition to garnish which one of us can garnish the most pity, right? So we have this kind of pity party between the two of us. One person says something, complains, and the other complains more, and the other one ups them one more time, right? So this will also hinder us from showing compassion when we belittle the suffering that somebody else is going through, or we compare it with our own suffering or our own hardship. Another challenge is when we say you contributed to your own problem. So rather than showing compassion and sharing with them in the hardship, we say, you know what? You're to blame. You made these choices. Do you remember Job, who lost all of, you know, who Satan wanted to try him, and he took away his health, his family, his livestock, his wealth. He took everything away, right? And this God was purifying him. But he had four friends. So these three friends came and they were trying to console him. Do you know how they consoled him? Basically, to sum like 40 chapters in the book of Job, they basically said, you know what? If you hadn't been so proud, maybe this wouldn't happen to you. Maybe there's something bad in you, and this is why this is happening. Right? So again, they're saying to him, you know what? You're the problem of this. Does this give anybody comfort? No, it doesn't comfort anybody. Right? But sharing where their suffering is in the beginning, and then when we feel their pain and their suffering, then we can be with them or stand beside them, and if we can help in any way to get them out, we can. But sometimes it's just enough for us to be next to them, to feel somebody is next to me in my hardship. The fourth kind, fourth challenge perhaps in showing compassion is to label them, another type of label is label them saying you're acting like the victim. You're acting like the victim. The definition of being a victim is somebody who discounts their own ability to help themselves. So they look to themselves and say, I can't be helped, or I can't help myself. Or the victim is they blame others for their problem. So again, sometimes, you know, when we label people as being victims, then it's very difficult for us to show compassion, because we'll say, I don't want to encourage this victim mentality, so I'm not going to show any compassion for them. It's different, my beloved, to show compassion and to agree with a person. I don't have to agree with them to show compassion, right? Nor does showing compassion mean that I agree with their stance and their thought. But it's a beginning place. We show compassion first, and then we can begin to grow. The last is like a statement that sometimes we'll ask ourselves, if I'm compassionate, something, right? Just two examples. Some will say, if I'm compassionate, then they think I agree, right? So therefore, I'm not going to be compassionate unless they think I agree with what they're saying. Like I said again, we can show compassion without agreeing or disagreeing. And sometimes we'll say, if I'm compassionate, this will open a whole can of worms. You know what that means? If I show that I care about some incident, هيفتحوا بقى ايه فيا ويقولوا كل البلاوي اللي عندهم. Right? There'll be some, يعني, I had somebody tell me once, yani, that when she was being compassionate, they opened like this and opened a whole can of worms, and then she felt like she had like a sign written on her head saying, yani, come to me with all your problems. So everybody just come to her because she felt like, you know, she had something written on her head that says come. No, maybe because she showed compassion, so people felt comfortable to tell her, right? So these are some challenges to maybe us showing compassion. What are some examples of compassion? We'll see most of them from the life of the Lord. And in each way of the examples, we'll see that compassion can be offered in a different way. In a different way. For example, the one from the gospel of today. The Lord saw a grieving woman, and it says that he had compassion on her. So he showed her compassion, or he showed her compassion by going and healing, understanding the situation that she's in and alleviating that situation. So giving her comfort. Whatever was the cause of her grief or her suffering, he was able to remove. Again, this is one type. Sometimes we're able to remove. And maybe it's not by a miracle. Maybe we see somebody grieving or somebody having a hard time, and maybe my apology is all it needs to heal their grief. Right? So then I offer this as a sign of compassion. Also, another example is in Luke 9, It says what? When the Lord went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So he goes on this mission, and he's healing the sick and everything. And then the multitude comes, and now he says that he has compassion on them. So it's different than the compassion he shows when the people are sick, which we'll get to. But this compassion he had towards them because they were weary and scattered. What are the weary and scattered? The weary are those who are like relaxed or faint. And these maybe can be those who are unaware or despise the or disregard their salvation. The weary can be like the lost. You might look out and find people living a life with no regard to eternity, no regard to the afterlife, right? So again, these people have a need for compassion as well, right? Because if I know what the end is, and I know where this is going, this ought to lead me to have compassion. Is this not what Christ did with us? Didn't he come and say, "I know the end result of sin. I've seen it before with Satan and the demons that fell with him, and the end result of separating themselves from me." So when he sees us following the same path, did he not have compassion with us and come and take our nature and save us from this? He did, right? These are the weary. The scattered, perhaps we can say, these are the lost. Those maybe who are searching for comfort, those who are searching for contentment, joy, or peace outside of God. And many people search for these things in possessions, in relationships, in friends, in entertainment, and types of music, like Saul, for example. Saul, in the Old Testament, King Saul, when he would have a disturbing spirit, he would have David come and play music for him, as if this was going to give him contentment and rest. But it didn't. It was very temporary. As soon as he stopped the music, he became, you know, upset again, because this wasn't the true source. So maybe the lost or the scattered or those who are searching for being fulfilled outside of God, those two also, my beloved, need our compassion as well. It doesn't need us to laugh at them, to mock them, to make fun of them. Sometimes people think that when they see somebody who is intoxicated, that this is a funny sight, because they do and say funny things, or things that maybe aren't within their own mind. But this is actually very sad. They need our compassion. They're searching for a way maybe to handle their stress and their grief and their pain, whatever it is, whatever kind it is, by a substance. This needs our compassion, our care, not our to make fun of them and to ridicule them. Also, before feeding the 5,000, it says in Matthew 14, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." So again, when he sees the sick, he saw them and had compassion on them and healed them. So we say, okay, well, now maybe I don't have the power, it's not in my power to heal somebody. But yes, you know, they found in the scientific literature that those who have a positive support system and have a positive mindset have better health outcomes, regardless of what the disease is. Even if it's cancer, they will live longer with the cancer when they have a positive environment. So maybe my healing for them or my contribution and compassion will be that I'm with them. That I'm with them, right? Sometimes we go and we visit the sick people and everything, but yes, Yenny, this is very good. But you know what? At the end of the day, when we leave that visit, who's left with the burden? That person's, it's always with them, right? And sometimes you get very lonely. The same thing with grieving. We all go offer our condolences to those who have lost loved ones. But then when everybody leaves, I'm still alone. There's still an element of loss there, right? But when we have compassion, we share with them and we don't leave them, you know, and we continue with them. It doesn't mean we have to go visit them and offer condolences every day, because that might be a burden, right? But we can call them periodically. We can maybe invite them over, take them out, things like this. He also shows compassion. And again, before the feeding of the 4,000 this time, he says what? Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Why this compassion this time? He said, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. So they were there listening to him preach for 3 days and they didn't eat anything. Right? And then he says what? And I do not want them to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. So he had compassion on them in their time of need. In their time of need. And this is where maybe the compassion to help the poor and the needy, to help our brethren who are less fortunate, in their time of need. Right? When we do this, we show compassion for them. It's one thing to see somebody in need and just say, Rabbana ma'ak, God be with you. Right? And it's another thing to see if I can lend a helping hand. How can I help you? Right? And I think having the Egypt 12% is such a beautiful thing, a beautiful initiative that we can share in the sufferings of our brethren who are not even in America at all, in a different country. You know, I think this is such a beautiful thing, and it's such a great blessing for us to participate in this. Lastly, we see in Mark chapter 1, another form of compassion. He says what? Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I'm willing, be clean. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So he tells him after his healing, this man with leprosy, he tells him to go and show himself to the priest so he can become spiritually pure. So he can become spiritually pure. So the Lord is saying here for us to show compassion on those who are spiritually unclean or those who are sinners, right? After all, we're all in the same boat. But he wants us to show compassion when we see somebody else's sin. Maybe for my sin that's hidden, it's between me and my Father of confession and God. But then what is my reaction when I see somebody publicly sin? Is it with compassion or is it with judgment and labeling? My beloved, he wants us to show compassion. Do you remember the woman who the people brought who were caught in the act of adultery? So there was no question whether this was yes or no. She was caught in the act and she was brought before the Lord to judge her. But what does he do? He shows compassion. He shows compassion first. First he handles the people who are judging her and he tells them, he was without sin, cast the first stone. He forced them to look at themselves. You know what? I'm a sinner just as she is. Mine just looks a little different. So they all left. Then how does he meet this woman? He doesn't justify her and doesn't say, you know what, no problem. No. He says, where are those who judge you? And she says, I don't see them. And she says, he said to her again, go and sin no more. He showed her compassion. He showed her mercy. She was going to be stoned to death and he protected her, but he told her, next time, be careful. Go and sin no more. So this is our approach when we see our brethren sinning? Or do we encourage them to sin more? Or do we laugh at them? What is our response? Or do we judge them and label them? My beloved, it's our job to show this compassion. I'll close with a story from the Desert Fathers. There's a story of Abba Piman. Some of the monks came, and they came and asked him, and they found one of their brethren who was dozing off as he was praying their praises. So they came to him and said to him, Father, should we go and pinch him so that we can wake him up, so we can wake up and say his canon and his prayers? And his response to them was what? Actually, if I saw a brother sleeping, I would put his head on my knees and let him rest. Shows compassion. Tomorrow he can pray, but he's exhausted. Right? Where he is now, he's exhausted. When he takes rest, then he can get up and pray. So he says, let him rest now. This is showing compassion. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.